are almost to the NFL playoffs, and man, there were some crazy games today, some crazy blowouts, some incredible close games. I mean, a lot of games with playoff implications went down to the wire. I mean, Titans-Texans, that's an all-timer. Browns-Steelers, that was way closer than it needed to be. Cowboys almost came back against the Giants. I have a lot of thoughts about that we don't need to get to. But, I mean, just a wonderful day of football. It's still going. Washington football team, Philadelphia Eagles playing right now. If Washington wins, they win the division. I have to wonder, and I got to ask you guys, how much do you think Tom Brady is rooting for Washington right now so that he doesn't have to play the Giants in the postseason?
That would definitely match up with the narrative. I'm not sure that however old he is, for what, 43-year-old Tom Brady wants to face that Washington pass rush, though. So I don't know. He might be rooting for the Giants, and it's not Eli out there. It's Daniel Jones. Much different.
Yeah, I heard they had Eli prank calling Tom Brady just to get into his head just in case there's a matchup. You know, like, hey, Tom, you know those two Super Bowl rings you – oh, no, wait, I got them. Never mind. Sorry.
Yeah, I can just picture Tom Brady in like full Washington football team gear tonight in his, you know, multi-million-dollar mansion, really cheering on Washington. But you're absolutely right, Eric. If Washington wins, he's got to face a team that I'm pretty sure is only going to make the playoffs based on their pass rush. I don't know what else they have on their team, so it'd be really tough. I don't know if I was Tom Brady, I'd want to face that.
No.
All right. Well, there's a lot of games today that had many playoff. I mean, there was a lot of things up in the air today, and we're going to go through those games real quick. We're going to start at the top. This morning, a lot of people thought, hey, Buffalo Bills, they might take it easy. They have a plan, Sean McDermott says. I guess their plan was to blow the doors off the Miami Dolphins, beating them 56-26. They did. I mean, I guess they rested Josh Allen at the end of the game. Matt Barkley went 6-for-13, but I think that's because they were winning by like a million. How surprised were you guys seeing a complete blowout from the Bills against the Dolphins team that needed to win this game to make the playoffs?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised by the Dolphins offensive struggles, but I was very surprised to see the Bills put up 56 against a Dolphins defense that was going all out. So yeah, that part was shocking to me.
Yeah, it seems like the Dolphins kind of collapsed. I know they had a lot of turnovers in this game. The Bills offense was looking great, but you kind of have to thank Miami as well just for collapsing on their biggest game of the season.
Yeah, I was, when I heard the Bills have a plan, I thought the plan was like, all right, Josh Allen's going to play two drives and then get the rest of the day off. But that was very much not the case. And the Bills now sitting pretty with the number two seed. Dolphins, not technically out of the playoffs yet. They were just going to need some help to make it, but they did not get that help today. Dolphins find themselves outside the playoffs. What a fun season, though. What a fun young team. I think a lot of people, you know, were really excited to see Tua play this year. Miles Gaskin really had a breakout year. So, you know, hats off to the Dolphins for sure. And I think we're going to see another playoff bound or, you know, potential playoff bound year for them next year.
Yeah. And they get the third pick in the draft. So they are set up extremely well. And, you know, Tua had some, you know, down weeks. This was one of them for sure, but he made it through healthy. So we'll see if he can build on that next year.
Yeah, they're very thankful for the Houston Texans for that number three pick. Should be very interesting. I wonder if if the Jets and the Jaguars just go completely brain neutral and don't draft Trevor Lawrence first, what the Dolphins would do if they're staying at Trevor Lawrence with Tua on the roster. But that's not going to happen. Trevor Lawrence is going to be a Jaguar. Baltimore Ravens completely demolished the Bengals. I think that was one we did see coming. Eric, how expected for you was this game?
Really expected. The Bengals had been playing better lately, so I wasn't quite expecting Brandon Allen to throw for 48 yards here, but that's where we are. So just lots and lots and lots of running from the Ravens. They had 404 yards. I believe they just missed the all-time record. So, let's get the season over with.
Yeah, 54 carries from Baltimore today. Very easy win for them. They are looking sharp as they make it to the playoffs. They're going to be the number five seed and face off with the Tennessee Titans in round one. Talk about a rematch. Should be very interesting. The Cleveland Browns barely hanging on to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers B team. Really surprising to see that they could barely win. But they did win, and they clinched their first playoff berth in 18 years, the longest streak in the NFL now broken. Mike, you know, what were you expecting from the Browns today, and were you surprised to see this?
Oh, man. Well, they always have trouble against the Steelers. So I never thought this was just going to be an easy one. It was kind of disheartening to see it be so close when Pittsburgh's starting, I don't even remember who at quarterback. One of the terrible guys who does a bad
I think that's his name, actually. It's I don't remember who is the last name. It's a Finnish, I think.
Yeah. That sounds right. There's a lot of Finnish quarterbacks. Yeah, but Cleveland won the game. They took care of business. It was close in the end, but they held on and they didn't, you know, shoot themselves in the foot. They got close with an almost fumble at the end of the game on a onside kick. But they held on. They did it. They're in the playoffs, and they got a strong running game. So all it would take is, you know, them to hold the clock against somebody, and they might steal a win or two.
Well, they might be seeing deja vu next week as they're going to be playing the Steelers again in the first round. But this time it's going to be in Pittsburgh, and it's going to be against the starters. So, you know, Pittsburgh's probably feeling pretty good about that. Cowboys almost beat the Giants. This is all I'm going to say about this. There was a play that was ruled a catch by Dante Pettis. Looked pretty clear that he trapped the ball. That led to a 50-yard field goal by the Giants. If the Cowboys had challenged that play, the Giants probably don't put points on the board there, which means when the Cowboys get down to like the 15-yard line, they can just kick the field goal instead of Andy Dalton running around like a madman and then floating like the easiest interception into the end zone and just completely losing the game at that point. I mean, it was just probably one of the easiest interceptions I've ever seen. It was a complete floater up there. So thanks, Mike McCarthy. Fantastic season. Can't wait till next year. But the Giants at 6-10, all they need are the Philadelphia Eagles to win tonight, and they will be the first division winner with a 10 losses in, like, I think since the merger. So this is going to be wild. I'm rooting for the Giants to win the division just for the memes.
Yeah, Daniel Jones didn't look great, but I guess he outdueled Andy Dalton here. So I will give a shout out. Sterling Shepard looked really good. He had a couple stretches where he kind of lit the Cowboys on fire, which I know isn't saying a ton, but 8 catches for 112 yards and a touchdown for Shepard. He looked healthy. I wish he had a better quarterback to get him the ball, though.
Yeah, this is probably the last time I'll get to say this. So once again, let's just enjoy that we had an entire division that never had a winning record all year long. That was pretty magical. Thank you, NFC East. Thank you, Dallas, New York, Washington, and Philadelphia.
Yeah, we always do our best to be interesting, no matter what. It's not pretty always, but we're always interesting. Tampa Bay Buccaneers beat the Atlanta Falcons 44-27. This one was actually really close. It was like 30-27 in the late in the fourth, and then Tampa Bay really turned it on and scored two quick touchdowns at the end to really put the distance between them and Atlanta. Now, with the win, Tampa Bay clinched the 5 seed, which means they will definitely play the winner of the NFC East. Much definitely preferred to playing Seattle or New Orleans. So Tampa Bay definitely wanted that win. Big game from Tom Brady, 4 touchdowns, almost 400 yards passing. And he found Antonio Brown 11 times for 138 yards. That was a connection that we were wondering if we're going to see, Brady really feeding Brown a lot. And we might see it more in the playoffs after today's performance.
Yeah, big news out of this one. Mike Evans looked like he twisted his knee, dropped a touchdown pass, and hurt his knee. So we'll see how long Evans is out for. Evans does seem kind of like one of those players that, you know, every other week it looks like he's out for the season with an injury and then he's back. So hopefully he's okay. But I think it's a big blow if they lose Mike Evans. He's their best deep threat. But you're right. Antonio Brown looked rejuvenated in this one. Maybe he just needed more of the offense to himself. I mean, kind of cleared out some space for him and Godwin. And there was a play earlier in the game where the Falcons tried to cover Chris Godwin with a linebacker. I thought that was fascinating. That turned into a touchdown. So some of this might have been the Falcons here.
I'm pretty sure a lot of it was the Falcons. Falcons defense, not very good this year, and they always find a way to bungle things just the right way. I'm like putting a linebacker on one of the fastest wide receivers in the NFL. That is not something I would do, not even in Madden. You know, it's just not a smart decision. In the afternoon games, the Indianapolis Colts beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. Big surprise there. But the win did pretty much put them in the playoffs thanks to the Dolphins' loss earlier in the day. They were just waiting to see if the Titans or the Texans would win their game to determine if the Colts would have the number 4 seed or if they drop all the way to the 7 seed. And, you know, potentially have to face the Chiefs in round 2 if they were even to make it out of there. But Jonathan Taylor today, 30 carries, 253 yards. A lot of that's probably the Jaguars, but that's kind of what we were hoping to see from Jonathan Taylor all season long.
Yeah, I mean, this was a workhorse performance, and that's why we liked him. We thought he was a workhorse. Nobody else had more than two carries on the team other than Taylor. So huge game from him. Second straight week where the Colts offense has kind of fallen asleep in the second half. I didn't watch as much of this one as some of the other games, but outside of Jonathan Taylor, there's not a whole lot of exciting stuff here in Indianapolis. So they're really going to need their defense to be on top of things, I think, going forward.
With in the NFC West, the Rams and the Cardinals played for basically a playoff spot. You know, the Rams and the Cardinals were both looking for a win here to clinch their spot in the playoffs. And the Rams, with their backup, John Wolford, really coming through, not through the air, though. Wolford really did a lot of his work on the ground. And then obviously that vaunted Rams defense really hanging on as they beat the Cardinals 18-7. You know, Cam Akers amazingly comes back for this game, and he gets the ball 21 times, but only for 34 yards. The Rams are going to need more from him in the playoffs if they want to, you know, do any damage.
Yeah, I mean, he had four catches for 52. That's nice, but they're not going to knock off many teams with this kind of play. They just happened to get up against the Cardinals, who were playing Chris Streveler at quarterback after Kyler Murray rolled an ankle. So I would not be real encouraged. We're hoping for Jared Goff at this point, and that's never a great sign.
Yeah, this was a really, honestly, quite the season from the Cardinals. At times, they look like giant beaters, beating the Seahawks early in the season when they looked unbeatable, beating the Bills on that Hail Mary play, but really just an injury-plagued season for Kyler Murray. DeAndre Hopkins had an up-and-down season. Mike, what do you expect to see from the Cardinals next year? Are they on the rise, or is this potentially a team that, you know, we've seen kind of what they're going to be?
The big question for the Cardinals for me is how much Kyler Murray is going to develop as a passer. We see that he's an excellent runner, and he as a fantasy option is going to be great because he can run so fast and he's just so shifty. What I want to see from him is him develop a little more into a Russell Wilson type player where he uses the run to open up the pass. And if he can do that, I think this offense could be huge. I still like some of the ancillary guys here like Christian Kirk. If we see that development, I'm hesitant to say I'm going to see it though. I think this might still be a one man show.
Yeah, right, I think there's a lot of questions around Cliff Kingsbury, too. He kind of alternates between looking like, a promising young play caller and looking like one of the worst coaches in the league. It's just kind of what you're going to get each week is kind of hard to know. So I'd like to see a better schemed up offense here where it's not just DeAndre Hopkins or bust.
All right, the Packers beat the Bears 35-16, but thankfully, because the Cardinals lost, the Bears are in the playoffs, still find their way in. Quite the bumpy season for them, starting the year 5-1. And then, eking into the playoffs at 8-8. Packers with the win clinched the number one seed, so they will get the bye in week one. Mike, I know you're down on the way the Bears were playing today, but, you know, after having a little bit of time to digest, do you guys think you have a chance against the Saints next week?
I think the biggest helper for us is going to be when they schedule that game. So a little interesting fact is that if the Saints play on Saturday, Alvin Kamara is not cleared from COVID protocol yet, so he will not be allowed to play. If they're scheduled on Sunday, he will be allowed to play in the game. So it's going to be a really big deal for New Orleans fans what day they're watching that game. If they're on Sunday, I like New Orleans' chances. The Bears' best chance would be, ride Montgomery, limit how much Trubisky has to do, and just hope that's enough.
Well, I did see yesterday that the Saints signed a running back to their practice squad named Calvin Damara. So I thought, that was pretty interesting. We might see the emergence of Calvin Damara next Saturday if Alvin Kamara can't go. I'll just say this. I think the NFL likes money, and I think they know that people watch Alvin Kamara, and they will schedule the game on Sunday because they want to be able to market Alvin Kamara. Plus, also, Kamara will probably wear some new, COVID shoes, since he, is off the COVID reserve list, and then they can find him and get more money that way, too. NFL always being very creative. But the Packers, look really good today too. Aaron Rodgers, four touchdowns, no interceptions. At one point, it was 11 for 11 with three touchdowns. So really a hot start. And the Packers are definitely looking like the team to beat in the NFC. And then finally, the absolute game of the day. I feel like I say game of the year like every few weeks, but this one was absolutely a wild one between the Tennessee Titans and the Houston Texans. And there's so much on the line because if the Titans win, they get the number four seed. They get to host a game. They probably don't play the Chiefs in round two. And if they lose, they have to go to Buffalo to play. And then they'll be the seventh seed, meaning no matter what, if they win, they got to play the Chiefs. Well, the Titans beat the Texans on I don't know what Houston was doing on defense. AJ Brown just like ran past everyone, and Tannehill was able to throw a 50-yard bomb. There was like 18 seconds left on the clock, and Houston still managed to screw it up. So well done, Tennessee. And Sam Sloman had to doink it in right off the right upright. My girlfriend said those shouldn't count. She thinks that there's so much space between the uprights that even if it hits and makes it in, it just you hit it, it doesn't count anymore.
Yeah, this Texans defense is awful. I keep bringing up how they gave up 371 yards to Brandon Allen and the Bengals last week in the air. So it was bad, but it was Titans. It was all Derrick Henry and all A.J. Brown. There was like nothing else other than that and a couple Ryan Tannehill touchdowns. So, I don't know. I'd be a little concerned with this Titans defense, but they do have some playmakers that they can match points with most teams.
Yeah, this is the kind of team I feel like could, emphasis on could, give Kansas City fits. If you can get Derrick Henry running and you can keep Patrick Mahomes off the field for long stretches at a time, I feel like this is the kind of team that could pull off that upset. I don't think someone's going to out offense Kansas City, but if you can make Mahomes sit over there and watch you for 5-10 minutes at a time while you score a nice slow touchdown, that could do the trick.
Well, that's how they beat the number one seed last year, the Baltimore Ravens, was just put the ball in Derrick Henry's hand and keep Lamar Jackson off the field. Speaking of Derrick Henry, the 250 yards he got today put him over 2,000 yards. You know, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about could Henry do it, and he needed like 160 yards per game in order to average it. And we're like, I don't know, that's kind of a tall task. I mean, that's a lot of yards. And then he's like, no, I'll just wait until last week, you know, I'll procrastinate. I'll get all of them, all 250 yards in the final week to put him over 2,000. So fantastic season from Derrick Henry. And honestly, just a marvel because you don't see runners like that as much in the NFL anymore.
Yeah, he's so much fun to watch. And I'm already kind of dreading the offseason arguments we're going to have where everyone says he's had too many carries, he's going to start breaking down, and everyone else says he's a workhorse and he can do this another year. And I'm not looking forward to those arguments. I just want Derrick Henry to be like this every year for the next 5 years.
I completely agree. And you know what? I hope the one thing everyone remembers is the last guy to do it was Adrian Peterson in 2012. And while the next two, you know, the next season he had 1,300 yards rushing, the next year after that he did suffer a major injury, but then he came back and had another fantastic season in 2015, rushing for almost 1,500 yards. So yes, Derrick Henry could break down after this, but let's celebrate the moment. Let's celebrate the 2,000 yards. And, you know, we'll save in the offseason. We'll just all bring up the Adrian Peterson argument. I think Derrick Henry absolutely can keep those legs churning for as long as he wants. Before we get into the playoff games and all the teams that are still playing beyond today, we're going to talk about the awards because it's the end of the NFL regular season. So we have all the information we need to pick the award winners. Obviously, we're the only three people who get a vote. So we are going to decide the real NFL awards. And that's what we're going to do here on this podcast. Now, we did make some midseason picks, and we're going to go over them. Now, obviously, things have changed since then. But for MVP, I think it's interesting. Both Mike and Eric picked Russell Wilson, and I was the contrarian picking Patrick Mahomes. I got to ask, are you guys sticking with Russell Wilson as your MVP this year?
Nope.
Run away. No, they definitely fell apart in the second half. So I it's hard to tell how much the league figured them out and how much was their own play calling that got in the way. But yeah, we'll get into more of the Seahawks when we get to their matchup later.
So Eric, who is your new pick for MVP this year?
So I'm already not looking forward to this argument because Mike and I have been having it on our Discord channel for weeks now. I'm going with Patrick Mahomes. He's going to give you a bunch of statistics for Aaron Rodgers, why he thinks Aaron Rodgers should win it. But I feel a little differently about NFL awards as opposed to, like, say, MLB MVP award or something, where I very much would lean on the analytics. I think Rodgers and Mahomes are close enough that their stats are close enough where you can kind of go with the eye test here. And I think Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the league. He's the last player I would want to face in the Super Bowl. He's terrifying. They only lost one game when he was playing. He threw for more yards. I think he was just needed much more than Rodgers was. They have a good running game. So it's Mahomes for me. I mean, he's averaging 316 yards a game. Rodgers is averaging 270. So there are some great arguments for Rodgers, and I would be not have a problem if he was picked as MVP, but Mahomes is my pick.
Eric, I thought you said Mike was going to give us the numbers, and then you hit us with that yards per game average, man. I don't know. It sounds like, Mike, you're going with Aaron Rodgers as your MVP.
Yeah, I'm correctly picking the MVP as Aaron Rodgers here. Rodgers, so before we decry stats, the stats that he would be winning in are completion percentage by about 4 percentage points, which is a pretty huge difference. Higher QB rating. He's got, I think, the third highest QB rating of any quarterback ever for a whole season. He's got the better QBR. Again, those numbers aren't the most important, but when both the metrics people have come up with and stuck with say that you're the better guy, well, that means something to me. The biggest one, though, is he threw 10 more touchdowns on 62 fewer attempts. So Rodgers had a 9.1% touchdown rate versus Mahomes' 6.5. And I think touchdown rate is one of the better ways to judge a quarterback. You know, the more often you're finding the end zone, the more likely it is you're succeeding. And I think they both had their share of short touchdowns. You know, we know the Chiefs had a struggling running game. So a lot of times short, you know, close to the end zone, they had a throw. The last argument I'll use is I think Patrick Mahomes has the better supporting cast. Now, we can call Tyreek Hill and Davante Adams about a wash. I would probably say Adams is a little better. But then you throw in on Mahomes' side basically the greatest tight end who ever played, you know, putting up this monster season that we've never seen happen before in yardage terms by a tight end. And I think that's a big advantage for him, as well as a coach who knows how to use his strengths and who's, you know, basically handpicked him. Whereas Rodgers has kind of just had whoever sitting on the chair, you know, soaking up the accolades for him being awesome.
Yeah, there's some really compelling arguments from both sides. I guess I'll have to break the tie here. And I got to say, for me, Patrick Mahomes, I think, is the better actor in those State Farm commercials. So I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes as the MVP. I don't know. Aaron Rodgers, it feels a little wooden. I think I can see, like, the person holding up the script, you know, just offset. You know, I don't buy it as much. We did our own category. We did non-quarterback MVP because the MVP award is basically the quarterback award. And then there's offensive player of the year, which is basically the non-quarterback MVP. So, Mike, at midseason, you picked Alvin Kamara for I guess this is offensive player of the year, and we called it non-quarterback MVP. Are you sticking with Alvin Kamara now?
I'm going to switch. So I thought about Derrick Henry, but it seemed a little too easy just to say, you know, the guy who got 2K yards, because I think Henry will actually get some MVP votes. I think realistically he should finish third or fourth in that race behind, you know, the big two quarterbacks we just mentioned. But I switched to Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce was getting a little bit older, and I think we kind of all started to wonder, like, is he going to hold up this year? Is it going to happen again? And what does he do? He puts up the best receiving yardage season ever by a tight end, and he did it in only 15 games. Just for fun, he left a game on the bench, and he might have been the leading receiver in the league if he played that last game, which I don't think a tight end has ever done in the history of the league. So, yeah, his final numbers, 145 targets, 105 receptions, 1,416 yards, 11 touchdowns. That's the most tight end yardage ever. Third most tight end receptions ever in a season.
I mean, Travis Kelce absolutely having a fantastic season. We touched on him on the Wednesday show in terms of, is he a first round pick in fantasy football? And we kind of landed on he probably is. At the very least, he's borderline. And you don't hear that very often for tight ends. Eric, at midseason, you had Davante Adams as your offensive player of the year. Is he still your offensive player of the year now?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with him. He had the fourth most receiving yards and missed two games. Ended up with 18 touchdowns. And I think kind of another, you know, just the eye test. He was the best receiver in the league. It's hard to argue against him. If you take him on a per game basis, he led the league in receptions per game, targets per game, yards per game. So I would much rather take the peak player who missed two games as the player of the year. So I'm sticking with Adams. And obviously, you know, Aaron Rodgers just really leaned on the best player in the league, and that's why he's an MVP consideration. So it fits my narrative well as well.
There you go. I had Dalvin Cook at midseason. Dalvin Cook had a fantastic season, but if I'm going with a running back for this award, it has to be Derrick Henry. I mean, 2,000 rushing yards. Once you see that, I mean, I don't care if he had 2,000 attempts. He's still, you know, the number one guy. And honestly, if a running back made it to 2,000 attempts without going to the ER every week and still being alive and walking, that would, I think, warrant offensive player of the year for me as well. But Derrick Henry, for sure, for me, offensive player of the year.
Yeah, he had 2,027 yards. Second place was 1,557, Dalvin Cook. And then third was Jonathan Taylor with 1,169. So it's pretty wild how much better he was than everyone else on the ground.
Yeah, he almost doubled up number three. That's incredible.
Yeah, he's probably the one quarter. That's easy for me to say. the one non-quarterback offensive player in the league where his offense collapses without him. Like, you could take away Rodgers or Mahomes, and obviously the Chiefs and Packers kind of fall apart because they lean so heavily on that one superstar. But this is probably the one non-quarterback guy where that's also true. If you take away Henry from the Titans, there's just nothing left.
Yeah. Now, the Titans definitely have built their entire system around the fact that Derrick Henry can just run over, around, through anyone. All right, Defensive Player of the Year. We all had different players back then. Mike, you had Myles Garrett. Eric, you had Aaron Donald. And then I had T.J. Watt. Eric, are you sticking with Aaron Donald?
Yeah, he's just the fact that he can take over a game from the interior of the line is pretty impressive. The Rams have certainly leaned on their defense this year, and for the most part, I'm not a defensive player expert, so I'm going to lean on all the smarter people out there than me on Twitter who just gush over Donald every week. So Aaron Donald's my pick.
Mike, are you sticking with Myles Garrett?
So I switched to Aaron Donald. I kind of figured Aaron Donald might be the guy I ended up with at the end of the year. It was close enough midseason where I felt I could go with Garrett. But at this point, yeah, for a lot of the reasons Eric said, Donald was 13.5 sacks, second most, and he did it from the tackle position. He's the only one in the top, 15 in sacks to do so at the tackle position, which is pretty nuts. Like, he basically defines the position he plays. He also had 4 forced fumbles. And again, you watch him and you can see what he is. Khalil Mack sometimes looks like that. Aaron Donald looks like that on a weekly basis. And he's just destroying everything in front of him.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Donald, absolutely one of the best defensive players in the year, in the league, and definitely deserving. I went with T.J. Watt at midseason, and I'm keeping it. The Steelers have been one of the best teams in the NFL this year based on their defense. Now, the Rams have also had one of the best defenses as well, but the Steelers, you know, clinching the division and doing it on the back of their defense. T.J. Watt leading the league in sacks, leading the league in tackles for loss, just a huge part of their defense, and I think it'd be cool for the Watt family to have two kids with, you know, the trophy. So I'm going with T.J. Watt. I think it's he had a fantastic season. He's definitely deserving. For Offensive Rookie of the Year, Mike, you and I both had Justin Jefferson, and Eric, you had Joe Burrow. Are you guys sticking with your player? Well, Eric, you're not sticking with Joe Burrow, so let's start with you. Who are you going for your Offensive Rookie of the Year?
That's a low blow, bringing up the Burrow injury. It's okay. Now I'm going to go with Justin Herbert, and I think he's lost some ground as the season's gone on, but I don't think we can underestimate how tough of a transition that is for him. I mean, he wasn't even set to start when he came in and started for the Chargers, and he's just taken over after that weird Tyrod Taylor situation. So, I mean, he's sixth in the league in passing yards, 31 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, 66% completion percentage. I mean, I don't know what more you could want out of a rookie quarterback, and that's the toughest position you can play. So, I know Justin Jefferson had an insane season, broke a ton of records. I'm going to go with a quarterback, though. And I just was really impressed with Herbert. And he's got a tough coaching staff to deal with. So hopefully we can get a new coach in there and really let him shine next year.
Yeah, really succeeding in spite of Anthony Lynn there. Mike, are you sticking with Justin Jefferson?
Oh, yeah. This is the victory lap on Justin Jefferson right here. Jefferson, so here were his stats. You might confuse these with, like, you know, the guy who led the league and everything. 125 targets, 88 receptions, 1,400 yards, 7 touchdowns. So if you look historically at number first-round wide receivers drafted, about 50% of them never put up a 1,000-yard season in their career.
Wow, so and Justin Jefferson put up 1,400 in his first season.
Yeah, Jefferson put up 1,400 in his first season on what I would call an anemic passing offense. I think it would be fair to call it bad or terrible or lousy or poo-poo. he took over. He replaced Stephon Diggs, who is a bona fide superstar. He proved it, you know, in Buffalo this year. And what does Jefferson do? He comes in and basically says, oh, that doesn't matter. I'll be exactly the same in my first year. And, you know, I'll compete with guys like DeAndre Hopkins for the yardage mark, even though this is my first crack at it. And Kirk Cousins is my quarterback.
Yeah, really fantastic season from Justin Jefferson. He's my pick for Offensive Rookie of the Year. I completely understand what you're saying, Eric, about you know, the quarterback position, how hard it is. But I think the wide receiver position is almost harder to, you know, especially learning a new system. It's something we talk about all the time when a player's traded, a wide receiver's traded. It's like, it's not going to be, you know, he's not going to be able to plug in right away. There's a lot that goes into being a successful wide receiver. And Justin Jefferson managed to basically be Stephon Diggs in his rookie year. So really fantastic for him. We didn't pick midseason awards for these next two, but we want to touch on these. Coach of the Year. You know, this is kind of an interesting award because, you know, you think someone like Andy Reid would be a front runner for it, but none of us picked Andy Reid. It doesn't seem like coaches like him tend to win the award. It kind of goes to like the rising star coach. So Mike, who's your pick for Coach of the Year?
So I went with Sean McDermott. The big stat here is four teams had more recently won the NFC East than the Bills. And you may be the AFC East. Yeah. You may be thinking to yourself, there's only four teams in the AFC East. Well, in 1999, the Colts were in the AFC East and they won the East that year. And the Bills hadn't won it since then. They hadn't won it since 1995. So I think this team, you know, getting that rock off their back, that's a huge deal. I also have to give the coaching staff credit for Josh Allen's development. Going into this year, I thought he was a dud. I thought everyone was going to see this year, like, okay, once and for all, we know he's not very good. But he looks like a bona fide superstar. And if it wasn't for the crazy year Rodgers and Mahomes put up, he'd be in the MVP conversation. So, yeah, I got to go with Sean McDermott as my coach of the year.
Yeah, the Josh Allen thing really stood out to me, just really forcing him to grow as a passer because they know that that's what he's going to need to take the next step. And he really, you know, showed up and had a fantastic year. And then for the Bills to go 13-3, to have the season that they had, I think Sean McDermott deserves a lot of credit. Eric, who do you have for Coach of the Year?
I went with Kevin Stefanski for the Browns. You know, last year seems like so long ago, but this was a team, you know, they fired Freddie Kitchens. They were just going down the toilet. Baker Mayfield was looking terrible. The year before Freddie Kitchens, it was Hugh Jackson. So I don't think we can underestimate what Stefanski did here coming in, getting the Browns to the playoffs for the first time since 2002. And just, you know, this is a tough division. I mean, they're competing with the Ravens and Steelers who both made the playoffs. And I know the Browns had, you know, kind of a subpar schedule here. I mean, an easy schedule. It wasn't, they're not as good as their record would show, I would say.
Teams you play, though. You can only beat the team.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, you know, I don't know if I would pick this team to make the playoffs next year, but he just really stabilized this franchise. And I think he deserves a shout out for that one. Baker Mayfield seems to be, you know, we can get some more years out of him starting. It's a good system. Maybe they'll get OBJ back and they take a step, but I think it's worth it for the playoffs this year.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, it just really, it's nice that he reset the clock and that 15 years from now we can say, oh, the Browns have made the playoffs for the first time since 2020. It'll be a new streak for them to start. Those are both fantastic choices. I went with Brian Flores. I think, you know, even with the way that they lost today, I think that's going to really harm his chances at winning Coach of the Year. But I think the Dolphins really took a lot of steps forward. They were a very young team. And I think they managed, especially that, you know, a lot of teams would crumble under the way that they kind of went back and forth at quarterback, right? I mean, it wasn't even just, oh, okay, Tua's a starter, but then Tua got hurt. So, there were games that Fitzpatrick just came in. Midway through the game just because, and the Dolphins really, I think, rolled with the punches very well. And that's what good coaches do, is they help teams, you know, prepare for those moments and just, hey, it is what it is. Let's keep moving. Let's keep rolling. We're going to be fine. So unfortunate that they just missed the playoffs, but I think they have a bright future ahead of them. And I think Brian Flores has a bright future for himself as a coach in this league. All right. Finally, comeback player of the year. This is, you know, I think this is a no-brainer. It's Alex Smith. 2 years ago, he was told he might not be able to walk again. He's not going to be in the NFL again. He needed 17 surgeries, broke like 36 different bones. It was just all kinds of stuff. And for him to come back and not just, you know, like play in the NFL, like, oh, cool, you got like one drive in week 17, but like start a handful of games, lead the team to a potential playoff berth. I think Alex Smith is very much deserving of Comeback Player of the Year award just for what he's had to overcome to get here.
Yep, agreed. Like you said, when he first came back, it was kind of like, oh, okay, he's going to see the field for a half, and that's all he's going to play, and we're going to give him this award. But, I mean, he started 5 games, played in 7, and it's a borderline playoff team, depending on what you think of the NFC East. So, yeah, big props to Alex Smith for coming back from that, and I am not watching the game right now, but I hope things are going okay.
Yeah, he's an interesting one in that he was drafted the same year as Aaron Rodgers, but I think people kind of give him the free pass on that. Like, usually it's like, oh, man, look how much you screwed up by taking so-and-so. You could have had so-and-so. And I don't think we hear that a ton with him. I think he's generally a likable player, and he hasn't had the best career ever, but he's had a fun one to watch. He had the time with the Niners, the time with the Chiefs. He's had some good years, and you can tell by how long he sticks in the league and that we're all here talking about him now that, like, he's a good player for the league. He's never going to, you know, throw 40 touchdowns, but he's a good guy to have around, fun guy to watch.
Yeah, major props to Alex Smith. And I hope that this is not going to be his last season. I think he's looked, you know, passable as an NFL quarterback. There are teams out there with worse quarterbacks, like the Rams and Jared Goff. I think they would actually be better if they had Alex Smith under center.
Or the Bears.
Yes. I didn't want to do the Bears like that. You know, I was going to give you a pass on the podcast, Mike, but I, you know, I appreciate you being honest about your team. All right. Let's talk about the playoff picture because it is finally almost set. The only thing that's left is just the 4 seed in the NFC, but we can, you know, it's not that important because whoever gets it is going to get trounced by the Buccaneers. We'll start with the AFC. The Chiefs obviously did not need to really play today. They had all their backups in a game against the Chargers and just resting, being ready for the playoffs as they had already clinched the bye week. I'm pretty sure I know how you guys feel about them, but just for the listeners at home, what do you guys think are the Chiefs' playoff chances here of making it to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, odds-on favorite to make and win the Super Bowl, and you know, their defense isn't as bad as some of the teams that are in the playoffs in AFC, and Mahomes, I just trust him over anyone right now. I kind of think they were getting bored at various points of the season and pulling out all their weird plays, and we'll see, but I think they're going to focus in the playoffs and steamroll a couple teams.
Yeah, I think depending on who they get next round, they actually could be facing a tough matchup in their first game because it looks like they'll be looking at the Titans or the Ravens. Both are strong running teams, and the Chiefs' weakness, if there is one, is they don't have a great running defense. And again, we kind of mentioned this with Derrick Henry, but if one of those teams can get going and running, I think they could cause the Chiefs trouble. That being said, the Chiefs are still the clear favorite here. I don't think anybody can match up to them top to bottom.
Yeah. All right. The Bills have the number 2 seed. They will host the Colts next week in the super wild card week. They really made a big point of talking about, oh, there's going to be 3 games on both Saturday and Sunday this year. Look at that. Yeah, that's what happens when you let 2 more teams into the playoffs. There's more games. Big surprise. But it is going to be fun to watch for sure. The Bills, can they repeat today's performance? You think they have got another 56-point game in them?
I don't know about 56, but I really like this Bills team, and I think this showed how much depth they have. It's just a good system, good coaching, lots of talented players. So even when they're resting starters, they've got good players filling in. You know, Gabriel Davis, I've talked about, he's a really good rookie. John Brown came back and looked like John Brown of old. Of course, they got Stephon Diggs. So even Isaiah McKenzie was out there making plays. So yeah, I think the Bills are set up really well. I would actually pick them. I have the best chance of knocking off the Chiefs, and I think they'll be able to make fairly easy work of this Colts team, but it's a good Colts team too, so maybe it won't be that easy, but I really like the Bills this week.
Yeah, the Bills would be my AFC side piece, you know, if I wasn't cheering for the Bears. I think the Bills are the interesting one that I kind of like. Oh, they're fun. They haven't been good in a while. They're an interesting team to root on. I think they should beat the Colts. This one's going to be really interesting though if the Colts can jump out to a lead, because we've seen these Bills playoff failures. All the Super Bowls they lost, the last playoff game last year when Houston came back and stole it from them. This one would be really interesting if things start to go wrong. Like, can they pull it back together? Can Allen, you know, get him out of it? Or do they just collapse? I think the Bills are the better team. I think the Colts defense will give them some trouble, but not so much that they can't still put up around 30, 35. And I think the Bills will come away from this one.
Are either of you guys worried about the Bills pretty much lack of like a consistent running game? It's been all year long, and we're not really sure what they're going to do at any point in this backfield.
I'm not super concerned. I mean, we've seen some flashes from both Singletary and Moss, and you've always got Josh Allen who, you know, in a do or die game, you could see him getting some more work. So of all the problems you could have, that would be my least concerning. I think their inconsistent defense at times would be my bigger concern, but I don't know if it's going to bite them against the Colts this week, because we just kind of seen the Colts stall out lately and top out at, you know, 24, 28 points. So I don't think this is the team that's going to exploit their defense. But no, running game doesn't worry me too much.
Yeah, if Josh Allen wasn't as good of a runner as he was, I would be worried. But I think he'll pick up enough first downs, you know, where it's third and five. He scrambles out to the outside. And then, hey, there's 5 yards in front of me. I'll just go pick it up and we'll move on to the next set of downs. I also think Moss has shown enough where I think he'll take the lead. I think Singletary has clearly become the two to his one. So I think Moss is good enough where he can you know, run 15, 20 times for them a game.
That'll be interesting to see. I don't think he's had that many carries this season, but again, they've really split the work between the two of them. So we'll definitely have to see how that plays out. Now for the Colts, you know, Eric, you mentioned they kind of, you know, stall out at times. You know, this is a team that has very rarely scored over 30 points. And for the past few weeks, it's been 28 points, 24 points, 27 points. They put up 44 against the Raiders, but like it was the Raiders. They only scored 26. I mean, they played the Texans 2 out of the last 5 weeks and scored a combined 53 points on them. And it feels like your Bengals scored 53 points on them last week. So this is definitely an offense that doesn't have really another gear to shift up into. But they really gave the ball to Jonathan Taylor a lot today. That could be the second gear that they need, you know, to really move ahead. He might be their most explosive player. I wish we had seen enough of him this year to know if he is, but they really kept him in the doghouse a lot. What do you guys think of the Colts' chance? I mean, they have one of the better defenses in the AFC, so that's going to play, but it's real tough.
Yeah, I mean, you made a good point with the Texans. Their schedule, Jaguars this week, they played the Steelers last week, but then before that, Texans, Raiders, Texans, Titans, Packers, Titans. Like, they've had a long stretch here against some subpar defenses, so... Yeah, I mean, I think, sure, if they get the lead and they can unleash Jonathan Taylor, they could knock some teams off. But, I mean, that's kind of what they did today, and they still let the Jags back in it a little bit. And that was with Taylor rushing 30 times for 253 yards. So they're going to need more out of Rivers than what they've got the last few weeks. I hope he's still got it in him. He's had, you know, I think he had a foot injury at one point. I'm sure that's still hobbling him a little bit. They bring Jacoby Brissett in on some short yardage stuff. So I don't think if this passing game really has to put the team on its shoulders, I just don't think it's going to work real well. So they're going to need to get a lead and just play some lights out defense to knock off the Bills.
Yeah, I think they'll have to force a mistake or two. You know, Josh Allen is not immune to mistakes. If they can turn him into Josh Allen of 2019 versus Josh Allen of 2020, that's one way they can secure that win. Yeah. If they can lock out the running game, if they can stop Moss and Singletary from getting started, that'll help. Because, again, the more you make them pass, the more it's going to be one-dimensional and easier to play against. I think basically it's keep it low scoring, run Jonathan Taylor like 25, 30 times like we saw in this game, and just hope that's enough. Hope the Bills don't figure it out and get to 30.
So, you know, we talk about like a lot of these teams in the AFC, it seems like have a really good defense. And we're now down to just 7 teams left in the conference. I think we need to like actually rank these defenses and see how they stack up against each other. So we've got the Colts, the Steelers, the Browns, and the Ravens, I think are the best defenses in the division, in the conference, but also the Chiefs had a surprisingly good defense and a great defense against the pass. So Eric, just real quick for me, rank those 5 defenses for me. Chiefs, Colts, Steelers, Browns, Ravens.
It's tough because they've all been up and down at times. I think I'm still going to go with the Steelers. They've suffered a lot of injuries, but I think they can turn it up for the playoffs. Ravens second. I really respect both of those defense. Colts right behind them. And then I think it's a pretty huge drop off after that. So after those three, it would be, man, I don't even know who's better between the Bills and the Browns. They're same ballpark though. And then Titans are – well, and I skipped over the Chiefs. I actually might take the Chiefs' defense over the Bills and the Browns. They've just both been so up and down. We saw the Browns give up way too many points to Rudolph today. So, yeah, I think it's Steelers, Ravens, Colts, Chiefs. Those are my 4 favorite.
Are the Chiefs in the same tier as the Steelers, Ravens, and Colts?
No, I think there's a step below. They're closer to the Colts, but I'd take the Ravens and Steelers in their own tier there.
Mike, would you agree that the Steelers, Ravens, and Colts are in a tier of their own separate from the rest of the conference?
Yeah, I would. I think all three have gone through at least stretches of being kind of like inept offenses. The Steelers have really struggled to run. The Ravens have really struggled to pass. And the Colts, I mean, Phillip Rivers
have struggled to do both. Yep.
Yeah. And when you're playing that well and you're that deficient in like a huge aspect of your game, that says a lot. Like the Chiefs, it's easier to look like a good defense because you put up 75 points on everybody and they basically don't get to hold the ball at all. And the Browns have that really powerful running attack. And when that's running, it's like, well, the other team's only going to get like 20 minutes of possession, you know? So it's easier to make things look good. But the Colts, Steelers, and Ravens, they have these huge deficiencies. I'd probably go Steelers, Colts, Ravens in that order. And then similar to Eric, everybody else would be a bit below that.
Okay. But they're all in the same ballpark for the two of you. So those are the three best defenses. It just feels like every week we talk about, this team has a really great defense. And you think about it, it's like, well, we just named like seven teams that have great defenses. Like, you know, some of them are better than others. That's how it works. All right. The 3-6 matchup is going to be the Steelers against the Browns. So a bit of a rematch here is obviously they just met up today. As we said, the Steelers really played their B team. Mason Rudolph and even Joshua Dobbs got on the field for some throws. Anthony McFarland Jr. and Benny Snell got some carries. We saw a lot from like Vance McDonald in the passing game. So it wasn't the Steelers starters. However, when they met up earlier this year in week 5, the Steelers beat them 38-7. So I don't feel good about the Browns' chances of beating the Steelers, considering they barely beat Mason Rudolph today.
Yeah, I don't either. It's going to be in Pittsburgh next time. They're going to have Roethlisberger in, obviously. I mean, the Browns ran 31 times for 192 yards in this one. That's what you'd hope for. And they still, if they hadn't stopped that 2-point conversion at the end, it could have been going to overtime. So yeah, it's not a good sign for the Browns that it was this close. Obviously you'll take the win if you're a Browns fan, take the playoffs, but they're going to have to get off after Roethlisberger, and the fact that they only got one sack on Mason Rudolph, only one interception, that's a concern for me. So this defense needs to step up. That's my biggest concern with the Browns. It's, we know they can run the ball. Mayfield can make some plays occasionally, but they've got to shut teams down better than they have been. And outside of Myles Garrett, I'm not sure if they're going to be able to do it.
Yeah, I don't think mentally the Browns are going to have what it takes to beat the Steelers. It seems like the Steelers just have like, it's like the big brother effect where the Steelers are like 2 years older. They're always stronger. They're always faster. They're always smarter just because they've experienced more, and the Browns can just never catch up. This is the outcome. If I could wish one into existence on the AFC side, I would love to see the Browns beat the Steelers. That would be so much fun. Yeah. We know the Browns are going to run well. We know the Steelers are going to struggle to run. So again, like Eric said, it's going to be a matter of how many times Garrett can hit Roethlisberger. If you can hit him a few times, if you can sack him a couple times in that first half, get him a little rattled, I think the Browns have a chance. That being said, if I was betting my money, it would definitely go on the Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to see the Steelers really beating the Browns. And by the way, we've got some breaking news on the podcast. I just said it's tough to see the Steelers beating the Browns. I meant the other way around. It's tough to see the Browns beating the Steelers. I was so rattled by the breaking news because we totally didn't see this coming. They definitely didn't tell us all this earlier in the week. But the Jets have officially fired coach Adam Gase. I just got to know, Eric, how many weeks ago did you think this was going to, like, how many weeks late is this?
Would they start 0-13? Is that what they started? I think about 0-9, 0-10, that probably pushed it far enough. I really didn't like the whole thing this week with both him and Doug Marrone, where it's like, yeah, the teams are going to fire them after this last game, and we're already talking about other coaches and moving on. It's just, it doesn't seem like the right way to do it. I would have rather seen them fire these coaches before they kind of already moved on from them, but it is what it is.
Mike, are you hoping, I know Matt Nagy has been kind of up and down. Are you thinking maybe Adam Gase would be a better coach in Chicago for you?
Oh, man, I could only dream. Like, don't get me too excited that Adam Gase might be available and come to my team.
Oh, he's very available. He is so available right now. I gotta say, I almost wonder if he'd be better than Mike McCarthy, the way he coaches.
No, in all seriousness, no, Adam Gase – there was this experience, like sometimes in sports, everybody sees what's happening except for the person making the mistake. And I think just about everybody I know was like, why are the Jets hiring Adam Gase? Like, that's a terrible decision. And we watched it happen and they just ran with him and it failed horribly. And it was like, geez, everybody in the room, apparently, except for the Jets, could tell you this was a terrible decision. And part of me wonders if he's got some kind of like blackmail on the owner. where they were forced to just add him. And then he's like, all right, 3 years, then you can get rid of me, and I'll get some blackmail on the Washington team or something. And
He's going to Chicago. I just think it's funny that Adam Gase couldn't even get them Trevor Lawrence properly. I mean, just, you know, really, really, you know, come on. Come on, Adam. What are you doing over there? All right, back to actual meaningful football. The Titans are going to host the Ravens in round one, which I think is fantastic. Going to see a rematch of last year. Pretty much the same team on both sides, too. Not a ton of turnover, really, in Baltimore or in Tennessee. Obviously, Baltimore is coming off a gigantic win. You know, really did whatever they wanted today against the Bengals. I mean, 54 rush attempts for 404 yards. That is absolutely wild. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that. I mean, Mark Ingram got 9 carries and didn't even get 20% of the team's total carries. Like, they just were doing whatever they wanted. We talked about how the Ravens can't throw the ball. Is that going to be a problem against the Titans?
Yeah, this is an interesting one because you wonder if the Titans are in the Ravens' head. I mean, they knocked them out of the playoffs last year. They beat them earlier this year. And there's kind of, I think both of these teams have an Achilles heel. I mean, the Titans' defense has just been awful lately, and the Ravens struggle to pass the ball. I mean, Jackson's looked better, but yeah, it's going to be interesting. I don't know what it's going to take for the Ravens to knock them off in a third matchup here. It's going to take more, though, than just 54 rushes. They're not going to be able to dominate the game like they did against the Bengals. So it's encouraging they got Marquise Brown going lately. He had a pretty bad drop, but he scored 2 touchdowns. So maybe things are turning around. We got J.K. Dobbins, who's more explosive than Mark Ingram and Gus Edwards. They need explosive plays, because if it's just picking up 5-6 yards at a time, I think the Titans can do that better than they can.
Yeah, I think this one's going to come down to who makes the first mistake, who gives up the lead to the other team. And I don't think it's impossible to think the Titans could make some mistakes. We saw Henry give up a couple fumbles today. And granted, when you rush for 2,000 yards, you're allowed to make a mistake or two here or there, you know, just to be fair.
But I can do whatever he wants at this point.
But I do think the Ravens – part of me wants to call them my upset pick in the AFC, that they can knock off the Titans. I think between Lamar Jackson and J.K. Dobbins coming on and a couple of nice passing game weapons, I think they could do it. I wouldn't be surprised to see this one go either way.
Yeah, and I think their defense, they've kind of let up it a few times this year, but they have a really high ceiling, and I think it's totally possible that they could shut down this Titans offense. I'm not so sure if this Titans defense has a shutdown game in them. So maybe that's the difference, is if this Ravens defense can just kind of, you know, get their fastball back for the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, if Lamar Jackson can remember how to throw a football, this absolutely could be a team that goes all the way to the Super Bowl. That's what happened last year. Obviously, they didn't do it in the playoffs, but like, that was how they made it to their 14-2 record. Was obviously they were fantastic on the ground, but Lamar's passing was at least like, you had to respect it. And now, and teams just don't respect it anymore. And he's given them no reason to make them respect it. So that's what it comes down to for me is can Lamar get it going? Because otherwise, you know, the Titans have a comparable running game and a better passing game. Ryan Tannehill is a better passer right now than Lamar Jackson has been, especially that 50-yard bomb to A.J. Brown. I mean, I'm not sure Lamar Jackson can make that. I mean, Lamar can make a 50-yard throw because he'll give it to Marquise Brown and Brown will go another 45 yards. But I haven't seen, you know, those bombs from him lately like we had last year. It's going to be a tough one. This is probably going to be the game I think I've got circled to watch. I will say this. I kind of, when the NFL was talking about, you know, adding teams to the playoff and changing up the structure, I think this would be a fantastic opportunity for them to really experiment. I think we should just have Derrick Henry versus Lamar Jackson 1v1 on the football field. Just run fest. That's it. No one else. No offensive line, no defense. Just the two of them head to head.
Well, you may get that pretty much. One thing that's funny, though, we're talking like this about the Ravens. They have a +165 point differential. It's best in the league, I believe. So we're talking about them like it's been such a bad year. Lamar looks terrible. And I mean, 468 points scored, 303 points allowed. That's not a bad season.
Let's see. They played the Bengals twice. they played the Browns twice. They beat them 38-6 in the first week. I mean, that's been the story, though. Almost all of their wins have been by 2 touchdowns or more. There have been a couple of games that were close, and then almost all of their losses have been close games. Their biggest loss this year was to the Chiefs, a 34-20 loss. That was the biggest. And then obviously they've had some really big blowout wins. They beat the Jaguars a couple weeks ago by 26. So, yeah, I mean, Ravens are just that's how the story. So I if they can get ahead, they can win. It just I don't know if they can come from behind. And I think Mike said it best. Whichever team makes the first mistake might be the one paying for it at the end of the day. All right, that's it for the AFC. Do you guys both have the Chiefs coming out of the AFC, or do you think, like, if I were to give you the Chiefs or the field, who are you taking?
I'm taking the Chiefs. I mean, you gotta give me some odds on it, but I
no 50-50. Like, I'm not saying, like, that's it. I'll give you your money back on the bet if you pick the Chiefs or if you pick the field, even odds. Mm-hmm.
Nah, because I think the Bills have the best shot, and it's a little bit of a drop off after that. So I've taken the Chiefs.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'll go for the field. I think any team with a really strong running attack has a chance, and that would be the Titans, the Ravens, the Browns, maybe the Colts if they stick with Taylor. And then the Bills just look the most like the Chiefs. They kind of feel like a poor man's version of the Chiefs. So if I can get all that in one side and I haven't even mentioned the Steelers yet, then yeah, I'll take the field there.
I'm gonna just say the Browns are not beating the Chiefs. I don't care about their running game. They're not beating the Chiefs.
Well, they're not beating the Steelers, so.
Yeah, they're also not beating the Steelers. Exactly. All right, let's move to the NFC, which I think is a much more interesting. I'm not going to give you guys Packers versus the field because I think the NFC is way more open than the AFC. Let's start with the Packers, who did clinch the number one seed this week with their victory over the Bears. Now, I know, Mike, I know you watched the game. So what do you think – how do you think the Packers stack up in the NFC this year? And just real quick, where do you think the Packers would stack up in the AFC? Because we talk about NFC is kind of weak this year. Where do you think the Packers would be in the AFC?
Yeah, that's a good question. I should mention an injury that kind of changes the opinion a little bit. The Packers just lost their left tackle, David Bakhtiari.
Yeah, that's a big loss.
A huge loss. Yeah, he was considered one of the best left tackles in the league. And it didn't doom them today against the Bears, but the Bears' defense wasn't exactly inspiring today. Before that injury, I had the Packers as a very clear number one for me in the NFC. Losing him, I think someone's going to find a way to take advantage of that, and that could spell disaster for them. If I was to put him in the AFC, I would probably rank him second.
Okay.
Slot in behind the Chiefs, but ahead of the Bills, just because I trust Rodgers more than I trust Allen.
Okay. Yeah, Packers look great today. Put up 35 points against the Bears. Davante Adams, 6 receptions, 46 yards and a touchdown. Aaron Rodgers was just, you know, untouchable. Eric, what are you expecting to see from the Packers in the playoffs?
Yeah, they're by far my favorite to come out of the NFC. I agree. I would put them second in the AFC. I think they're comparable to the Bills, but like Mike said, Rodgers against Allen, I'll take Rodgers. So I just like the fact that they can run the ball and pass the ball as well as they can. They've got a go-to like Davante Adams when things are going bad. They can just lean on him. But I think they have a lot of versatility on offense that not all teams have. Probably none of the teams have in the NFC. So there are some good defenses that are better than the Packers in the NFC, but I don't think any of them are so good that it offsets the difference in the offensive performance. I think really only the Bucks and the Saints are in the same class, and I'm just really down on the Saints. We'll get to them. But, yeah, Packers pretty clearly for me.
Well, let's get to them right now. Let's talk about the New Orleans Saints, who are the number two seed. They will face the Bears, and we'll get to the Bears. But, Eric, let's talk about the Saints.
I just don't trust this passing game to be explosive enough to knock off Aaron Rodgers in a game, you know, in Lambeau Field. The cold's not going to help if Drew Brees is out there in the cold. So, I don't know. It's obviously going to help if they can get Kamara back, if they can get Michael Thomas back. I haven't heard much on him lately. But a bye week would have been huge for them. And I really think they're limited, and they don't have such a good defense that, like, I think it's just going to carry them like, you know, a Ravens team of the past or something. So they're at some point, they're going to have to put up 30 some points, I think, to make the Super Bowl. And I know they put up 33 today against the Panthers, but that's a little bit different than who they're going to be playing in the playoffs.
Yeah. With the Michael Thomas, now the reporting on him when they put him on IR was that he could have been playing. He could have still kept playing, but they wanted him to be fresh for the playoffs. They just didn't want it to get any worse. I think they had clinched a playoff seed playoff spot already at that point. So there's no reason for them to really continue to push Michael Thomas. So I would imagine we'll see him in the first round. Obviously, as we talked about at the top of the show, whether Alvin Kamara plays or not depends on if the game is on Saturday or Sunday. But I think the NFL wants to have Kamara on the field, and they will play the Saints game on Sunday. That's what I would imagine we'll see. Mike, do you think the Saints are, you know, could they beat the Packers, or are they a step behind?
So this team reminds me a lot of the Broncos the last year Peyton Manning played. They're a little better on offense. They're not quite as good on defense, but it feels like they're kind of trying to drag their quarterback to one last win.
Like that's a really good comparison. I like that a lot.
Thank you. Yeah, and it feels like it's no longer Breeze is the engine. So can the players around him do enough to get him there? Because he's done it for them so many times. Like, they kind of owe him one. Like, we got to drag you over the hump for once instead of you always saving us. Interestingly enough, the Saints and the Bears played in the regular season, and New Orleans won that one 26-23 in overtime. Mm-hmm. So you probably wouldn't expect that, because this Bears team only beat one team with a winning record all season, which is pretty awful. But yeah, they basically played to a standstill the last time they played, and I can definitely see a blueprint where the Bears win this. If you can get after Breeze and even sack him a couple times, you might just shake up that offense, and they might not function like they're supposed to. I don't think they can challenge the Packers. Again, I don't think they would stop Rodgers and Adams unless the Packers take another serious injury. Like, if Davante Adams or Aaron Rodgers goes down, fine. But outside of that, I think they just have firepower that nobody else in this division has shown they can match in the last month.
Yeah. With the Bears, do they have a chance at beating the Saints?
They have a chance. The chance they'll have is that the defense plays well. Khalil Mack gets after the quarterback. David Montgomery runs the ball 25 to 30 times. And Trubisky doesn't make any boneheaded mistakes. So I'm going to.
That's tough, though, because the Saints really, really. No, I mean, I'll just say the Saints have really been a good rush defense. More above anything else, they've really been able to stop the run. And it's really, really hard for me to see David Montgomery really being able to break through the Saints defensive line in a way that other running backs have not really been able to do as much this year. So,
yeah, I'll say I agree. Those ifs were a lot of big ifs, because usually make a mistake. And the Bears struggle to run against better defenses. And Khalil Mack has struggled a little bit to get after the quarterback lately. So I don't think it will happen. It's possible, but I would have the Saints as a pretty heavy favorite in this one.
Yeah. I did like seeing Darnell Mooney involved today, though. With the Bears Saints, I just have to ask what the odds are on a Javon Wims, CJ Gardner-Johnson rematch. Because Javon Wims right now is the hands-down winner. CJ Gardner-Johnson didn't even land any punches. I didn't even think he threw any punches. So Wims won the first fight.
Wims hasn't been important to the offense, so I think if things are going poorly, that's what we should do. Like, we can at least take the moral victory of we punched a guy in the face and you know, go with that.
Yeah. We do not condone violence on this podcast. Eric is, like, staring at me right now, like, holding up a sign, like, your QB list does not stand for this. All right, Seattle Seahawks face the Rams. Another 3-6 divisional rematch. I like this. This is kind of spicy. Seahawks are going to take on the Rams. The first time they met, the Rams defense completely swallowed up the Seahawks offense, did not let Russell Wilson do much. He was sacked 6 times, really had a bad day. And then in week 16, the Seahawks beat the Rams 20-9. So obviously the offense really got going that day, scored 20 whole points against the Rams, which actually is a pretty good amount, because the Rams absolutely have one of the best defenses in the NFL. Eric, do you think the Rams have a chance, and does it rely on Jared Goff being healthy?
Yeah, it definitely relies on Jared Goff being healthy. The Seahawks have fallen off offensively quite a bit. But I think they're more than happy to play a low-scoring defensive game with the Rams and let Russell Wilson pull it out at the end, which is what they did against the 49ers today. I think the Rams need to be able to put up some points here, because we all know, kind of like the Breeze versus Trubisky matchup, if this game's close at the end and they're trading field goals, like, Russell Wilson's probably going to win it if it's against Goff. So the Rams really need to, like, put up some points, get a 10-point lead, put the pressure on the Seahawks. So we need Goff, and we need a good Goff game, because the Seahawks defense is playing well right now.
Yeah, this is probably if I had a bet on every game except for one, this is probably the one I would skip. Because the Seahawks have looked so good, and then they've looked so bad. Mm-hmm. And the Rams at times have looked really good, and then the Rams at times have looked pretty bad. I could see this game coming out so many ways based on who happens to play well. Like, let's say the Seahawks get hot and that offense looks like it did early in the season. It wouldn't surprise me to see them run through the NFC and get to the Super Bowl. But if they play like they have in the last few weeks, I don't think they're going to last very long. They're going to get destroyed by somebody. Yeah, this is a tough one.
It's a classic divisional game too, you know? Like, those games are always weird.
Yep.
Yeah, third time meeting this season. So obviously they're pretty familiar with each other at this point. Who's more of an X factor in this game? Cam Akers or Tyler Lockett?
So, man, I mean, Akers didn't do much today. I think it's Lockett. So, I mean, the Seahawks game today, I watched it for what we saw, and what gets lost in it, if you didn't watch the game, is they were down 16-6 with 5 minutes left in the third quarter against the 49ers team who looked terrible on offense. So the Seahawks offense really struggled in this one. And once Lockett got going, that helped. We've seen DK Metcalf get shut down a little bit by the top corners like Jalen Ramsey. So I think they really need another big Lockett game, and they need to get it going earlier than they did this week, because they cut it awfully close against the 49ers today.
Yeah, I agree. I think if Lockett gets going, all of a sudden the Saints, because I think that's their matchup next week, assuming they both win. All of a sudden the Saints are looking at it and saying, oh shoot, we can't just take out Metcalf. Like, Lockett just put up 150 and 3 touchdowns. That's a huge problem for us. Yeah, I agree. If you make them think about 2 receivers, that passing attack's going to look good again. If it's just Metcalf and Lockett's kind of just hanging out over there, not doing much, they're going to be in trouble.
Now, Eric, did that Seahawks team that you watched today, did that look like a team that could beat the Rams that was playing today?
Yeah, like I was saying, I think they're more than happy right now to play good defense, keep it close, and let Wilson run it at the end. So I think this is actually a great matchup for him against the Rams. It's going to be kind of similar to this matchup against the 49ers today, unless Goff's healthy and firing all cylinders. But they're going to run into trouble when they go up against, you know, the Packers putting up a bunch of points, or maybe even the Saints get things rolling. That would be a tough matchup. But I think they're more than content right now to just kind of slug it out with teams and let Russell Wilson work his magic.
All right, and then the final wild card weekend matchup is going to be between the winner of tonight. Well, let's put it this way: either Washington or New York. Washington is currently trailing, and it's almost halftime, so they're going to need to pull this out if they want to play in the first round against the Buccaneers. Let's ask the easy question: does it matter who is playing against the Buccaneers? Do either teams have a chance?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm tempted to, you know, downplay what the Buccaneers have been doing lately. They've played the Falcons twice, the Lions, the Vikings. Like, this has been just a really easy schedule. But I think Tampa Bay, if everything's rolling, they probably have – if they're playing their A game, I think they have the best shot, honestly, against the Packers. I don't know if that's going to happen. They've been really up and down. But, yeah, I think they can take care of the NFC East pretty easily.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the schedule that they've had lately, twice against the Falcons, the Vikings, the Lions. Are we sure Washington or New York are better than those four teams?
No, I mean, I think at least the Falcons and Lions are kind of get more of a shootout with the Bucs, and I think that kind of works in their favor. I could see the Giants, especially Washington, kind of muddying things up and getting pressure on Brady, and, you know, maybe it's close at the end, but yeah, they're not much better than those teams. No.
So I just doesn't seem like we're all pretty much expecting the Buccaneers to move on to the second round, I think would be safe to say. Mike, do you think there's anything that trips up the Buccaneers here in the first round?
I think Washington is at least a more interesting game because they have the better pass rush. They have, you know, Chase Young, and they have some ability to get after Brady. And maybe they can make things interesting. I'm kind of stretching here. I'm kind of, you know, just pulling it straight to try to come up with something. But I could see a scenario where the Washington pass rush is playing like their A-plus game. They've hit Brady a few times. Things get a little frustrated on the Tampa Bay sideline with Brady and Arians not quite on the same page. And maybe things go poorly for them. But I think really more I want to say what Eric said, that I think this is the team with the best chance to knock off the Packers.
Yeah,
I think if I was ranking my Super Bowl favorites coming out of the NFC, it's probably the Packers and then probably Tampa Bay after that, just because they're fresh. They have the best weapons, and Brady's got the experience in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, it's Tampa Bay Brady over there. So, yeah, I think he copyrighted that earlier in the year. I think for me, you know, and you mentioning the Washington pass rush, I think the most important thing for me is if Washington makes the playoffs, right, we're going to see some type of, you know, fight song, some cheering, you know, some naming, right? We've got Legion of Boom, you know, a lot of teams have the 12th man. I want Washington's to be like the Washington pass rush, the Washington running game, the Washington wide receivers. That's what it needs to be. They just need to lean fully into their branding right now and just really get behind it. When Chase Young gets a sack, they're like, yeah, the Washington pass rush.
Don't mess with us. Here's the thing I'll say for Washington that'll work in their favor. We saw this. I forget the last time we had a losing record team in the playoffs, but they won their first game. And I think part of it is you spend a week of everyone saying, wow, look at how horrible Team A is. Team A is just the worst. Can you imagine Team A is in the playoffs? They don't belong. They're an awful team. And ultimately, these are like grown professional men who, you know, take it a little personally when for a whole week they're told they're just terrible. And at some point, I think they kind of take it personally and are like, all right, you think we're so bad? Let's see what we do against your favorite quarterback of all time. You know, let's see what happens when we sack him four times. And now he's not looking so good either. I think you saw something similar on kind of a little tangent with Ohio State and Clemson in the college football games. I think Clemson was the better team, but their coach made the mistake of going and saying, well, Ohio State sucks. They don't belong in the playoffs. And so I'm going to stick to that. And then they beat the snot out of them. So,
yep.
I mean,
yeah, the last team that made the playoffs with a losing record was the 2014 Carolina Panthers. They won their first matchup against the Arizona Cardinals and then fell in the second round to the Seahawks, who were the other last team to make the playoffs with a losing record. And I think we all remember what happened when they played the Saints, because that was the Marshawn Lynch run.
The Beast Quake.
Yeah, absolutely. So it'll be interesting to see if Washington or New York can put up a fight here against Tampa Bay. That is actually a really good point. All we're going to be hearing for the next 6 days is just, oh, how easy this should be for Tampa Bay. Yeah. All right.
And so, I think that Arizona Cardinals team, that was Bruce Arians and Carson Palmer, right? I believe so.
Probably. I'm on the Wikipedia. I don't get those kinds of that kind of information.
As a Bengals fan, I have a photographic memory of all former Bengals quarterbacks' playoff appearances. So I think that was it. Maybe I'm completely wrong.
Yeah, the game recap from the Wikipedia page is not loading, so yeah, we'll go.
Listeners can find out on their own.
Carson Palmer and Bruce Arians. Okay, so that's it for the NFC playoffs. I'll give you guys the same question: Packers or the field? Equal odds. Who are you guys taking? Michael, start with you. Who are you taking?
When we look at the NFC playoff picture, I actually think I like Packers against the field better than I like Chiefs against the field.
Interesting.
Because I think the NFC field, as you said earlier, is weaker. So it's the field is not as good. Like, there's not as much power I see there. You in the AFC have a lot of teams that do something really well.
All right.
Like, the Titans have an incredible running game, and the Ravens have the best running quarterback in the league, and the Steelers have really great defense.
I mean, even the 7-seed Colts have a really good defense. I mean, I think you would take you could take any of the 4-seed, which is the NFC East division winner, the Rams or the Bears, and put them against any team in the AFC, and they're probably losing that first round matchup.
Yeah, I agree. I that's very true. That's a good way to put it. I'm still going with the field. The field, picking the team versus the field always feels like the sucker bet. And maybe I'm just playing the odds and making it boring. But yeah, I still got to go with the field here.
You're so boring. Eric, spice up the podcast. Packers or the field?
Man, I'm taking the Packers. I really like them more than everyone else. I will say, I do think it's a little closer just because you've got Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, and Drew Brees, even though he's a little bit limited in the field on this side. So a little closer. But I really think it's Packers-Chiefs, and I'm pulling for that because that would be an incredible Super Bowl.
All right, so you want Packers Chiefs Super Bowl. Is that what you think is going to happen?
Yep, that's what I picked midseason. I might even have picked it preseason. I'm sticking with it. So, yep, hopefully we get like a 52-48 game too.
Oh, fantastic. Mike, what's your Super Bowl prediction?
So just as a reminder, I had Chiefs Seahawks at the halfway point, and I had the Chiefs winning. I still have the Chiefs winning, but I've got them beating the Packers. Again, we kind of mentioned that Seahawks collapse, and – they still have the talent to end up in the Super Bowl. the recent history says it's not very likely. So I'm going to go Chiefs Packers, and let's hope the Chiefs beat them by about 50.
By 50, that'd be a tough one. That'd be a boring Super Bowl. That would be reminiscent of the Seahawks Broncos Super Bowl. All right. And then for me, I like the Bills a lot in the AFC. I think they're a fun team. I think they're a team on the rise. I think they're one of the teams that when they catch fire, could absolutely be unbeatable. So I'm going with the Bills coming out of the AFC, which means we know what has to happen. They have to play an NFC East team in the Super Bowl. And just because, you know, it's that season, right? It's 2020. Well, it's 2021 now, but anything can happen. And both teams alive have such beautiful stories. Alex Smith, comeback player of the year, should have been the starting quarterback in the Super Bowl with the 49ers. They probably would have won the Super Bowl if that was the case. You know, was there with the Chiefs, was the quarterback replaced by Patrick Mahomes. This is Alex Smith's chance. Or we've got the Giants against the Buccaneers against Tom Brady. Tom Brady's kryptonite, and they're going to ride that wave of momentum. Either team is going to go to the Super Bowl. They're going to beat the Buffalo Bills because that's what happens when the Bills make the Super Bowl. So that is what I think is going to happen. And that's all because someone, 26 years ago curled a monkey's paw when they said, I want the Buffalo Bills to be a Super Bowl team. Well, this is what happens when you mess with monkey's paws, people. All right, that's it for this week's episode of What We Saw. We're going to do podcasts through the playoffs. We're going to be talking about the games, previewing them, all that good stuff. And it's been a fantastic season. I think one of the weirdest seasons of football we've had in memory. Thinking back to the week when the week started on Thanksgiving and ended the following Wednesday with a Ravens game. I mean, it's just been an absolutely weird season. So, really appreciate y'all listening in with us. Mike, Eric, really always a pleasure having you guys on here and talking football. So thank you for being here all year long.
Yep. Like you said, we'll be around for the playoffs. And Mike, now it's time to send you off. Maybe we'll call you in to do some Bears talk or something. But thanks for sticking with us all year.
Oh, yeah, that sounds good. We got to talk about the new quarterback for next year.
I think what we just really need to do is just have Mike mic'd up for the first round, and then we'll just pick the best audio clips from that game, Bears Saints, and just play that for the podcast next week. I think that would probably be the best thing to do for sure. It's a shame the Bengals aren't in it. We could do the same thing with you, Eric.
Now, see, the ticket is really my dad. You want my dad on the mic because he's the one who will swear and call the opponents bozos and have a fun time.
Perfect. You mic up your dad. I'm here for it. Thank y'all so much, and we'll hopefully y'all won your fantasy leagues if you're still playing this week, and